Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano.
And by
Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here, Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, right here next to all the busy San Diego landings. We're watching the Royal Stars just backed in, getting ready for their captain to join them. And speaking of the captain, he's sitting right here, Captain Tim Ekstrom from the Royal Star, literally walking out the door here in about, in a little less than an hour and jumping on the boat.
Well, when you're talking about that boat, though, you're talking about captains, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's hardly anybody that's on that thing that doesn't have a license, it seems like, you know.
Yeah.
And you guys have always said that's been one of the big things for you on Royal Star, is that every time that boat goes away from the dock, there's somebody from the ownership team behind the wheel.
That's our perfect world, and that's the way it's setting up again, you know, between Randy, Brian, and I. Alex, who I talked to you guys about that a few weeks ago, who signed on, and he's going to be in an ownership role here and by the end of the year. Rock solid.
That's cool.
I really believe that it is a huge, huge foundation of success. It's not that a non-owner operated boat can't be successful, because, you know, I was one of those guys who ran Royal Polaris for Frank when I was back when there were horse-drawn carriages, and when I got on Royal Star, ran it for 5 years for Frank. I treated those boats like they were my own. Every single experience everyone had, the outcome of everyone's experience, you know, I was personally invested in. But that said, the day we bought Royal Star, it changed.
Cranked it up a notch.
It was different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The level of appreciation that I had for every individual who, you know, decided to spend their vacation dollars with us it just elevated. I mean, there is something to that. So, you know, when you have an owner operator behind the wheel, there's a recognition of the importance of every detail being attended to, every little thing that's within our control being, you know, done to the very best of our ability.
No question.
You know, between the boat, how we run it, and then, you know, in the case of Royal Star, throw that fish processing element on top of it. I mean, the fact that we have the ability to be part of our anglers' overall experience, from the time they make a phone call and Tracy fields it to the time they drive away from that fish processor, you know, I'm very confident that that's foundational to our success as an operation now for, what, this year, yeah, 1996, the years
whoa,
go by.
Pretty cool, man.
Yeah, we're in the 26th year.
26 years, yeah. That's exceptional. That's an exceptional operation. Ricky and I have spent many a day on the Royal Star, very happily catching a lot of big fish and enjoying that incredible service. And as you can hear, we have a great show, and speaking of owner-operator, we're giving away a great prize with an owner-operator.
No doubt, man. Our good buddy, Kentaro Takeuchi, is a trip on board the Liberty. Somebody's going to get to go a full-day trip on board the Liberty. Such an awesome trip. And, man, they've just been having such good fishing, from that offshore bluefin they've had, trips to the Coronado Islands, now seeing the variety happen. They had Dorados yesterday and Yellowtail. Just somebody's going to win a great trip to go fishing on board yet another great boat with a great operator and a killer crew. Those guys do such a good job. If you want to get your shot at that great prize, or better yet, your chance to talk to Tim, give us a call this morning at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. Or text the show. Again, texting Let's Talk Hookups, only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. And make sure you include your contact info, so if you're the big winner at the end of the show, we can get you that trip on board the Liberty. With that said, we're going to find out what's biting out there. It is time for the Catch Report, which today, speaking of the Fish Pros, is sponsored by Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. The best processing for your fish. When your trip returns to the San Diego landings, long range, local, private boat, plus with Fish Pros, the market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerkied fish, their spices, rubs, smoked cheese, the tuna burgers, the poke kit, all available at their Old Town location on Taylor Street. Call for details or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure to check them out on Instagram at The Real Fisherman's Processing. Let's start it off with our private boater buddy. He's got that fishdope.com report. Good morning, Mark Wish of Pacific Edge.
Hey, good morning, Ricky. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Mark.
Tim. Hey, great show, guys. Love listening to all that long-range fishing stuff.
Yeah.
So here we are, guys, at the start of our 4th of July long summertime weekend. I got to tell you, there's endless opportunity for the private boat guy with fish everywhere. And the only issue is a little bit of weather up on the outside, but it is what it is. Up north, been some really good sea bass fishing on the bait grounds there at Santa Rosa and Santa Cruz, both scattered around a few other areas also. But, man, I got to tell you, those guys up there, they're a hardier breed fishing in tough conditions and making good catches. At San Nicolas, some really good yellowtail fishing this past week. A little bit of sea bass mixed in through big halibut. That sand spit there in the east end of the island has been in fine form. Same thing at Santa Barbara Island, yellow sea bass and halibut, but both islands have the same issue right now. The weather's up, and the seal problem is a problem, big problem. So the size of some of them knotheads is just beyond description. At Catalina, a definite uptick on all the species. It's been pretty good with much more barracuda, bonita, and yellows mixed in with those schools there. It was really pretty good fishing this week. Boat pressure this weekend for the amount of guys that are over there, it's like, oh, boy, kind of you got to be cautious between the boats and the water skiers and the jet skis. And, oh, my God, it's holiday weekend. San Clemente Island, pretty good week over there. I was there for a couple days, first part of the week. Good scratch fishing on a nice grade sea bass and halibut. Sample on that big yellowtail, and our best fishing was in the dark on the bait grounds. And, again, seal problem is a problem. Offshore, this is where we've seen some really big changes this week. With a lot of that bluefin fishing now pushing up above the border here, I got a call yesterday from one of my friends. Fulmer's on the 14-mile bank right out in front of Newport Beach. And that's been dead there for quite some time. And just all of a sudden, that stuff, water straightened out a little bit. That stuff just made a little road trip, got on the move. And so from the 14 to the inside of the 267, the 312 to the 289 has some fish. And then outside the ridge over the 43, quite a bit of fish there. And a lot of boat pressure on it also. And then when we were coming home from Clemente late Saturday afternoon, I'm getting all messed up here, late Tuesday afternoon, above the mackerel bank heading toward the east end of Catalina, just a stunning amount of bait. And as we got closer to Catalina, we marked what looked like some tuna fish there, 15, 18 fathoms. We were doing about 16 knots, so wasn't able to take a real good look, but definitely the right kind of marks, nice boomerangs, and a little bird school here and there. And I got to tell you guys, it looks like some of that tuna is sliding right up the back of Catalina where it hung out for quite some time last year. And then, of course, there's that developing bite out on the east side of the Tanner there. So we got a lot of tuna above the border here now. That's really good news. And for the exotic of the week, your first Dorado, as far as I know, first Dorado caught above the border was caught southeast of the 267 yesterday. So it's wow. Game on, guys. Lots of fish, lots of different places. A little breeze on the outside, but it is what it is, and it's time to go fishing.
Yeah, and at fishdope.com, Danny and Jeff and the boys have all the stuff that you need. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW. You got to have fishdope.com. You want to know where the fish are, they know, and you should know, too. Fishdope.com, check it out. And how do we find you, Mark?
Well, Pete, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. Phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262. And the website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And it's been a great week, and it looks to get nothing other than better and better. So it'll be fun talking next week for sure.
Sounds good to me. All right, we'll be ready for it, and we'll talk to you next Saturday. Appreciate that very much.
We'll see you guys. Have a good weekend.
While we're waiting for Marcos, I want to throw out a big get well to our buddy, the cowboy. He's been moved to a better facility, God, in Escondido, and his daughter's been battling the medical systems, as you need to do these days, unfortunately, sadly. But Cowboy's doing way better. Big shout out to Cowboy and all his family support that he's getting. And we need you back, Cowboy.
No doubt,
come
buddy.
On, get well.
That's awesome. We'll feel better, bud, and we'll talk talk to you real soon. Why don't we grab a text message while we're waiting for our buddy Marcos to come rolling through. This one says, hey, guys, I'm really wanting to know what Captain Tim's opinion is on bridle rigging a flat fall where they place a large circle hook above the lure itself. I recently heard about this rig, and I know that some guys swear by it, and others say it doesn't work nearly as good. I'd love to know what Captain Tim's opinion is. That's from John in Orange.
My opinion is pretty much neutral. I mean, do I think it's the holy grail? You got to rig that way? No. Do I think it's another way of rigging that's potentially effective? Yeah.
Okay, I'm not understanding what he's meaning. Can you explain that to me?
I better look at yeah.
Yeah.
So you know how you would like bridle a big circle hook in front of a skipjack if you were trolling for a big marlin or something like that. The idea is the same thing. So they will take a piece of Dacron or a piece of floss or a piece of whatever and essentially tie a big circle hook above a flat fall. So your line would be connected to a large circle hook, like a big hook, you know, a 10-0, a 12-0, a 14-0, something like that. And then from on the bend of the hook at the bottom, they would attach a small piece of Dacron or cord and essentially tie that to the flat fall. So as the flat fall is sinking and doing its thing, in theory, the fish eats that, the whole kit and caboodle goes down the gullet, and then as you come tight, then the circle hook winds tight, and now, in theory, you have that fish hooked on the big circle hook instead of the flat fall.
Okay.
Does it make the lure swim the same? Who knows? I mean, Tim said it absolutely best. I try to not let my opinion vary for anything. Like, I get my opinion because we're lucky enough at Fisherman's Landing to be in the backyard of the fleet, the Royal Star, and the Pacific Queen, and the Tomahawk, and the Royal Polaris, and all these boats, and like we rig our jigs based on what the fleet is seeing success with, and Doug and myself and all the boys in the shop, we ask the guys every day that they came in, when they came in from the trip, how was fishing, anything new, what's happening, this still the thing, and so I wouldn't say unanimously, again, just like Tim says, but for the most part, a real heavy-duty assist hook with some heavy-duty cord and a really beefy hook seems to be what has the most success. Doesn't mean that's the only way, but, man, I'm such a big fan of the not broke, don't fix it rule. Yeah. That's why I just like real heavy-duty assist in the cords.
Makes sense.
But that's the rig.
Yeah, that is. Okay, that explains it. Speaking of Doug Kern, he'll be here tomorrow in the World Headquarters. We'll be talking serious tackle with Mr. Doug Kern.
He's the man about it, no doubt.
For sure. All right, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Ralph? Ralph's calling us from Menifee this morning. Good morning, Ralph. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, boys. Hope you all are doing well. Tim, question for you. For someone like me that has zero long-range gear, can I get by with rental tackle on a long-range trip?
You can. The rental tackle at Fisherman's Landing is exceptional. It really is. I mean, if you get the package, it's four rigs. It's a light medium. Call it a medium, and then a heavy, a Talica 25. Is it a Talica or a Talica 20 or a 25, a Talica 16, and then I'm trying to remember if it's a Talica 12 or and the lighter rig. It's perfect for. You know,
I think indeed it is a Talica 12.
Yeah, 25, 30 pounds.
So it's like a long range rental package you can get a Fisherman's Landing.
Exactly, yeah. And we've actually, it's so good and it's so well maintained that we've actually gone from, you know, we had a bunch of tackle set up on the boat and they just get worn out and beat to hell, and you know, over the years it's just not the quality that we want in our anglers' hands.
Yeah.
So we've deferred to Fisherman's Landing rental tackle because it's so much better, and they maintain the daylight out of it.
Yeah.
Every trip it comes in, you know, line stripped off, new, you know, they really do maintain it and keep it an impeccable working standard. So yeah, I highly recommend if you're going to give it a try to go with one of the rental packages, because this stuff is what you want in your hands.
Yeah, for sure. All right, hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Have a great text here from Rory in Lakeside. And this is a very good question, and it goes for not only long-range trips, but all the trips that we support here, all the Alaska trips, Queen Charles Far, whatever. How far in advance should somebody book a trip on the Royal Star, and what months are you booking for now? Things are just getting full way in advance. Like your whole season this year is full, right?
Yeah, it's pretty impacted, which again, that's one of those quality problems you love to have. We have published our schedule through about, I want to say, the first part of June for next year already. And typically what we do is now as the trips start ticking off, we obviously give those that are on the trip this year priority booking if they want to go again the following year. And as soon as that trip gets in, Tracy compiles a list of who wants to go, collects a deposit, and then the remaining spots, if there are spots available, then she'll post that trip up online.
Okay.
So she'll just keep clicking them off one by one as the year progresses.
So, for example, if you want to go on the four-day mid-July Let's Talk hookup trip on the World Star, that's not available for 2023 yet. Until the trip finishes, the people on the boat get first shot, and then it opens up.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So if you know there's a trip that you want to go on that's coming up in the future, is it pop up on the website? One of those things like you'll know, hey, the next day, be ready on the website or call Tracy.
So for those listening, there are no – other than the early trips, which we've added, there are no changes in our schedule other than we just push the trip ahead one day to keep the days of the week consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So the schedule you're looking at this year is the same next year.
Perfect.
As far as, you know, like the Let's Talk Hookup four-day trip, it's going to be the same. It's just one day earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And all those other trips, they're all on there, and they will be there next year.
Awesome.
As you know, it's yeah.
Other than the new ones, which were the March, April, May 3-day trips.
Correct.
That you added, and that's a new part of the schedule, which are available now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can book now.
What's the best move to get on a trip in the future? I mean, do you call Tracy now and say, hey, look, this 8-day, I know it hasn't gone yet. I know you got to give first right of refusal. Can I put a deposit down knowing that, you know, probably won't be 100% rebook? Like, can you kind of get yourself first in line with a deposit, or do you need to, like, what's the move if you haven't been lucky enough to be on the boat but you want to go in the future?
That is the move. And every one of those trips, she's already got a book on all the trips.
Okay.
So that's exactly what she does. She makes a list of standbys, you call them. But if you reserve a spot with a deposit, that trip gets in, you know, it doesn't fully rebook. Bam! If you're on the schedule, or you're on the book, and you already have a deposit, you're automatically on
that
trip.
Okay, cool. So and that is true too with all the sold out spots this year. Things change, and we've said it constantly with any boat, and the Royal Star included. Call Tracy in the office, get on the list, say, hey, if something opens up on this trip in August of 2022, I want to be on the list.
I would say 80% of the trips have cancellations within the last month.
Yes. 80%.
It's common.
Yeah. It's changed.
And I'm not saying like half the anglers cancel off, but you know, one, two, three. Yeah. I mean, it just happens to life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like things happen. So it's very common. And she relies on those on the go-to list, you know, the standby list, where she'll fill it back up. But it's very common. So, yeah, that's the best thing to do is you get your name on the standby list and you secure that with a deposit. Then it's automatic.
Yeah.
If a spot opens up and you just move in.
That's cool.
There you go. All right.
All right. Well, hey, let's continue on with our catch report. We got, I'm sure, a very busy guy this morning. And that's Marcos from C4 Sport Fishing on the line. What's up, Marcos?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. You guys get the boats out okay this morning?
Boats are all gone. We had one boat come back this morning. Blair Supreme came back, and they had a great count. They're on a four-day trip of fishing at day and a half range, but they had a great mixed fish. They had 30 bluefin, 54 yellowfin, and 151 yellowtail. And
wow.
That's kind of the shift we've seen. Yeah, that was great. I mean, like I said, it is a four-day trip, but they were in that day and a half range there. And it kind of carried through with the Pacifica yesterday. They had 56 bluefin, 2 Dorado, and 140 yellowtail. So definitely a shift in fishing over the last week and a half, 2 weeks here. Those overnight boats, seeing that bluefin, seeing some yellowfin, seeing yellowtail mixing into the count there. And not unusual for, you know, going into July here. Very good fishing, some nice weather. A little bit of bumpy weather this weekend, but that should get back to normal. And I'm sure those guys will be right back out there catching those fish. And it's not what we've been seeing with those 200-pound bluefin, but it's a great mix of fish. And you still want to be prepared for those because there are still a few big fish mixed in there. But those yellowtail are kind of in that, you know, 10 to 20-pound range, still some 25 to 40-pound bluefin. Yellowfin are kind of that 12 to 25 pound range also. So a nice mix of fish overall there. The San Diego switched up and they're back at the island started Monday and they've been fishing down there and they've been seeing a nice mix of yellowtail, barracuda, calico bass, rockfish, a little bit of other bottom fish in the mix there. So kind of a more traditional full day there, I'd say, where it's great fishing at the islands. You know, they're not going offshore, but it's a little bit more fishing time there, not traveling as far, and it's been very consistent. And talking to Mike on the Tandy this morning said there's all kinds of signs of fish there. They're biting on pretty much everything, so have all that gear ready to go there. And then, of course, a half day, still plucking away, catching all those calico bass, a little bit of bottom fishing there. Still seeing that occasional yellowtail in the mix. So a little bit of change from, you know, the last couple weeks, but I'd say it's kind of what you'd expect going into July here. Very good summer fishing. Check the website, seaforthlanding.com. Make your reservations on there for those half days, those full days, the overnight, the day and a half. Some of the longer trips are up there also. San Diego Fishing Islands, again, so make sure you have your passport before you make those reservations. Give us a call at the office if you have any questions, 619-224-3383. Come down, visit us in person, get a burrito next door, check out the number one tackle shop in San Diego, and don't listen to propaganda. You're going to be here tomorrow. It's definitely the number one tackle shop.
Dude, that was classic. Hey, and speaking of burrito next door at the Royal Rooster there, I want to really thank Corey and the guys over there for helping out at the Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea Captain's reception. Everybody raved about the tacos from there, and I think he discovered a lot of new customers, too, from that event, too.
Well, perfect. So, yeah, like I said, come down, grab one of those, get out on the boat, and go catch some fish because there's a lot of good fishing right now.
Great call, Marcos. Appreciate it very much. Number one ticket office, number two tackle store. You guys do such a great job at Seaforth, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next Saturday. A great job, as always, buddy. Thanks, Marcos.
Appreciate that
all right.
very much. That wraps it up.
You got it. It does, buddy. Hey, spot, talk about a great tackle store in Mission Bay. That's Dana Landing on Mission Bay. It's your one-stop shop for everything that you need to go fishing, a complete saltwater tackle store. They have a full deli, have all the snacks and beverages, ice and boating supplies. And when it comes to freshwater tackle, check out East County Bait and Tackle. They're at the end of the 67 Freeway in Mapleview and Lakeside. And the brand new Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, full of all the freshwater tackle and live bait that you need for a great day in the lake. Dana Landing is right across from the SeaWorld Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. East County Tackle, as we said, at the end of the 67 Freeway in Mapleview and Lakeside. And the brand new Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle on Broadway. In Lemon Grove. Check DanaLanding.com for all the info.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phones.
You got it. We're going to talk to Roger. You're calling us this morning. Good morning, Roger. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. It's a great show.
Thanks, Roger.
I want to ask you about jig fishing for bluefin tuna. A few years ago,
Oh, man, shoot. we lost them right in the middle there. Just before we could get the question is. Hopefully you're able to make it back in, Roger.
Yeah, well, I have a great text here from Dan in San Diego, and he's got a good question, and which is we hate to broach the subject, but it is what it is. He's got a trip on the Royal Star in September, and is there a fuel surcharge in the offering with the price of diesel fuel today?
Let's see what happens to the price of diesel. Right now, and we're very clear cut about fuel surcharge on Royal Star. Number one, our fares are all inclusive. We don't charge extra for visas or permits. We base our fuel price on in the schedule right now, our prices were based on $3.75 a gallon.
Oh, geez.
Right. Well, we eat 25 cents of that. Anything above $4 a gallon, then we charge a fuel surcharge. And how we do it is we calculate what our estimated fuel consumption is on that trip. Let's say fuel is $5 a gallon, right? I'll make this real
easy. But it's still more than that.
Yeah, it is,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
But yeah.
Let's say it's $5 a gallon. We base our fuel price on, we'll say $4 because we eat some of it. And we estimate on an 8-day trip coming up here that we're going to burn 3,500 gallons, right? So we take $3,500. That's what we need to recover, a dollar a gallon. Four to five is a dollar. So $3,500, and we divide that among the 24 anglers that are on the boat. There's
okay.
your fuel surcharge.
Very sure.
Yeah. So in the case of the 3-day trips coming up, you know, fuel consumption on a 3-day is like anywhere between 700 and 1,000. And so $700,000 divided by 24 anglers, it really, you know, it ends up being $50, $40.
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows, it's not some giant sticker shock. You're not going to get hit with, you know, it's going to be $500 more or anything.
Yeah.
It's not how we do it because, you know, we've got our prices based on a set value, a set price that we expect to be paid. So anyway, that's how we do it. Let's hope the fuel is down in a reasonable range. I mean, right now we're all living the same nightmare.
It's not looking good.
No, it's just
it's ridiculous.
It's just is what it is. Yeah. But you know, let's hope that I mean even if it stays because we're paying roughly because we don't pay road tax on our fuel, so it's less than you see at the gas station. We use the red dye diesel. We're generally about 75 to 80 cents less than what you see at the pump.
Yeah.
So,
but diesel fuel has skyrocketed.
Yeah, diesel is the one that's really jacked
up. That's and there's really no reason for it because it's like less refined. It's like because they can, right?
Because they can.
Exactly. Yeah, right. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because so basically what all the boats are pumping in is red dye or what they call farm diesel.
Exactly.
Right? It's non-road tax diesel.
Exactly.
Not allowed to use it on the roads and such like that. Cause no road tax, but that's why it's a little less expensive than what you see in the pump on the
exactly. On thank goodness.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness.
So
yeah.
Anyway, I mean that's how we calculate it out. I'm not sure about what our other colleagues do, but we've got a set formula, and it's. I mean, we're all sensitive to the whole, additional charges. No one likes it. We all hate it. So,
does anybody like filling up for $200 at the fuel at the fuel pump right now?
Exactly.
No. Dude, but it's reality.
I'm trying to think the last time I took my big truck to the station and burned diesel and was less than a triple digit fill. You know, I mean, like
crazy.
Yeah, ever. And I'm not a guy that runs to empty. Like I'm trying to think of the last time I got away for less than $100.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen anymore.
No.
Half a tank.
Yeah, for real.
Half a tank, $100.
I filled up my little skiff, my little 18 Parker the other day, at like 37 gallons was $275, right?
Yeah.
It's like crazy.
We're sharing the pain.
Yeah. It's all over the place, right?
It just is what it is.
Yeah.
But, we try to, we try to keep it as
yeah.
And we try to distribute it evenly among all
and
us.
That's right above boards. We're going to burn this many gang. We're going to divide it by the number of passengers, and everybody shares it.
That's a great
But you're still eating part of it anyway.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Everybody eats their share.
Yeah, we all share. Hey, Captain Bill Cavanaugh on the Intrepid. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Do you have Tim Ekstrom on the show this morning? I thought I heard his voice.
The one and only.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Pete. Good morning, Rick. How you guys doing?
Doing great. And I hear that sonar clicking in the background. You're fishing.
Yeah, we're out here looking for bluefin. So I'm calling this morning because I want to call in with a report from our last trip. We had a pretty unique trip. We had a Larry Brown 5-day trip that we have every year. Getting close to departure day, and the prospects of that bluefin was pretty dismal. There really wasn't much going on. Guys seeing fish, not catching it. It was in some weird mode, small feed, and it really wasn't biting. So I talked with Larry. We'd done this in the past. We actually made this move a couple different times on this trip over the years. We ended up going to the Channel Islands to fish sea bass for a couple days. We got up there with high hopes. We got all settled in, and as sea bass do more times than not, we get up in there where there had been some good fish, and then it was crickets. No one caught anything that day. So it's like, all right, regroup. Let's go figure some stuff out. We located some fish up at Santa Rosa Island and had a quick little shot for 8 pretty decent-sized sea bass. I'm like, okay, we have something to work with. Long story short, we were up there for 2 days in the morning. We scratched a white sea bass every morning. We never got a big shot, but we had anywhere from 10 to 15 fish a morning. And a couple fish upwards of 50 pounds. Once our experience up there was over, we started working back down. And, we just got very fortunate, had good timing, landed on some bluefin, and then had 2 nights of limit-style bluefin tuna fishing to finish up our trip. And it was pretty amazing trip.
Sea bass and bluefin. We'll take that. That's very
combo.
Cool.
That sounds great. And, of course, I'm sure Dr. Chris Minnick certainly added to the counts there. That guy's an amazing angler. I know he's with you there.
Yeah, Chris Minnick is an animal. He's a straight killer. He was doing really good on that bluefin.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, that's a great report. And where are you at now?
We're out west fishing bluefin. It didn't bite like it did the 2 nights prior, but we scratched at it a little bit last night. Today, this particular trip, on a day and a half trip, this is at Travis Weber's first trip at the helm. I'm his second. So I asked him how he wanted to see the shifts go, like, when do you want me to take over? So he wanted to fish the boat at night. I'm fishing the boat at daytime. He scratched up 16 good grade bluefin tuna last night, and we're hoping to get this stuff kind of I'm not sure if we were off it or if it was just a different night, but, it wasn't quite like we saw the 2 nights prior, but he did scratch some fish, and, we're seeing a little bit here when we can scratch throughout the day.
Yeah, and they were talking about weather coming up. How's the weather?
The weather right now is very doable. It's not as bad as kind of what the forecast looked like. We were looking at the forecast yesterday a little bit concerned, like we might need to, maybe not fish here today. But the sea state is very doable. The wind isn't all that bad. I wouldn't say it's nice weather by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not horrible. We have fished in much worse weather than this, so we got better weather than we were anticipating. There's fish around, and things are kind of looking up. We, like I say, those last two nights was pretty amazing fishing. We literally, the last night of that last trip, we drove away from that fish biting. Like, it's, we're done, guys. Wind them in. We're going home. And they were biting full speed when we left. It was pretty cool.
Excellent.
That's great.
Captain Bill Cavanaugh, sure appreciate that great report. And keep getting them. We hope you appreciate the report and hope you keep getting them.
That's awesome. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including a big block of your phone calls. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup on Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
With gas prices going crazy, you certainly need to get the lowest price possible for your car or truck, and especially your trailer boat. That's why you need to visit Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. You're not going to just save pennies. You will save real money when you fill up at Summit Gasoline. Summit does not compromise on service. Oh, no. The great staff is attentive, friendly, and ready to help. When you pull up to the pumps, notice how clean everything is. The great sound system, and of course, the low gas and diesel prices. Walk into the Summit Gasoline Bistro and check out the selection of frozen bait and chum, the top-of-the-line Italian coffee, and so much more. Get discounted Everingham Live Bait Certificates, your free 100 pounds of ice with a 35-gallon minimum purchase, and stock up on snacks, beer, water, and soda for your trip. Just when you need low gas prices most. Summit Gasoline at the Sports Arena comes to the rescue. Summit Gasoline. Low prices, friendly staff, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
Cutwater Spirits celebrates those who work smarter, not harder, and know that enjoying a bar-quality cocktail is as easy as cracking open a can. No mixing required. We cut out that step for you. Made in San Diego with our real award-winning spirits, Cutwater canned cocktails are ready to enjoy, ready when you are. All you gotta do is choose your cocktail, such as our fan favorites like our lime margarita, tiki rum Mai Tai, vodka mule, or mango margarita. Or try them all. Please enjoy responsibly.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
Hey, anglers. AFCO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. It's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with AFCO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out AFCO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you or learn more at AFCO.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning, talking fishing, talking bluefin, having a great time doing it, man. If you want to join us, give us a call, 213-432-1090.
All right, let's go ahead and jump back on the phone.
You got it. Mike Torrance is up next here on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for hanging in there with us.
Hey, thank you very much. Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I love fishing on all sorts of boats. I like fishing down San Diego. I like going up to Ventura. I have a private boat. I fish as much as I can, and I'm not free diving as much as I used to, but I'm doing a lot of surf fishing. It's so fun to get up in the morning and walk out in the surf in your shorts and catch corbina. You catch some live soft-shell crabs. You throw them out. You catch them on light gear. They fight like little bonita, and it's a lot of fun. You guys should try it. Thank you.
That's a great call, Mike.
Yeah, and next Sunday, we'll have the man, Bill Marney, will be here on Let's Talk Hookup. So going to learn a lot about some new surf fishing techniques. And Ted from Gamakatsu is going to talk about the Duracent, which are their new surf fishing baits that they've developed.
That's cool.
Bill Varney's been field testing, and there's a lot of good things to say.
Okay,
about too.
Good to hear.
So there'll be a lot of that for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right, well, I had a great text come through. Said, good morning, guys. Question for Tim. If an angler wanted to catch a true trophy yellowtail, what trip, what destination, and what time of year would they go? That's from Duffy in Long Beach.
True trophy yellowtail. Man, you got a lot of options there. I mean, I you know, obviously Alejos Rocks pops to mind. That would be that would be the reason I'm hesitating is because we've caught some big bassers down in those lower banks.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, down there in Morgan Bank and Potato Bank, too, yeah. Yeah, great big ones. But overall, I mean, historically, Alejos Rocks is big yellowtail time. I mean, last year we got that 82.
Jeez.
Just massive.
What does that thing look like when it comes up to put a gas? I mean, I just can't imagine.
It was huge.
You know, we get so
it was 84, right? We thought we weighed 82 on the boat. It was 85, 6. Right?
85?
Yeah, this thing was just massive. Holy this thing was a monster. That is between Alejos Banks and Alejos Rocks, that if your heart is set on a big giant one,
that's a good place.
That is definitely, that's going to be your shot. And, you know, fish the bottom, fish at night. Although we have caught them fly line in the daytime, but, you know, that bottom at night has produced the majority of those super jumbos.
How do you prepare yourself to try and yank a 50-pound yellowtail off the bottom?
Fish heavy gear. I'll tell you a funny story. This is true, and you know this happens so often. You're talking about these extraordinary catches. So we're fishing these big yellows at night, and it was, you know, the night we got that 85 pounder, it wasn't great fishing. I mean, we had like 15 or 16 for the night, and it was all scattered throughout the night, just sporadically. You hit one or two, and everybody gets, oh, here we go, and then you don't catch you. But what was going on is these sharks were mixed in, right? And they were just big sharks. They were just cornholing us, you know what I mean? Just breaking it off, and just long battles around the boat. So we hook another friggin' shark, you know, and fighting the thing. You know the end of the story, right? Yeah.
Your mind just waiting for it to break off.
Yep, get the thing up there.
Oh, my God.
Enormous yellow.
I thought it was a shark the whole time.
Oh, damn. I was like, God, man, it was this damn thing. We just, like,
86 pounds. Shaking the rod tip, trying to get him to chew you off.
Holy mackerel.
And you're like, guys, oh, my God.
Wow.
I just can't, I mean, you know, you think about what a 20-pound yellowtail looks like when it's coming up together. You're stoked. That's such a nice fish. And to think about that same thing could weigh 84 pounds is wild.
So that's where the big, the ridge, the Alejos Rocks.
Alejos has produced those giants. You know what I mean? Guadalupe, of course, you know, that's been the second spot that's produced some real extraordinary, you know.
Like, what's the biggest one you've seen in Guadalupe?
Well, the biggest one I've seen there was 78.
78 pounds.
Yeah, Brian on the 105 when he was running it, they had a 92 pounder.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, there's like we've seen a lot of that, like 45 to 60 pound fish. It's not all that uncommon, which is the same thing with the Alejos Rocks. You know, when that fish is in there, you know, it's. You know, 45 to 60 pounds. I mean, I consider that a big yellowtail, right? Anything 40 pounds or bigger.
Yeah.
But God, man, I'm thinking like all that fish on Morgan Bank a couple of years ago and Alejos Bank was the same year. Like, the average fish was 42 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
They were like 42 to 55 pounds.
Wow.
Cookie cutter.
He's talking about a true trophy. I think nobody would ever think that a fish that was a 40-pound yellow wouldn't be that is the class you'd give that.
Yeah.
Yeah, 40-pounder would be a true trophy yellowtail.
Speaking of trophies, did you see that on the BD Outdoors yellowtail shootout last week that the winners had 85 or 86 pounds, like two over 40 pounds?
Crazy.
I mean, wow. That's local fishing, right?
That school of big fish has been in La Jolla. I mean, most of this, and I don't even know that that's where they caught it, so I shouldn't just assume that.
But likely.
But that school of fish has been there, I mean, since the spring, and it doesn't bite often, but you see guys make a catch. Everyone, you know, the stars align, and the guy's in the right place at the right time, and hooks a fish that doesn't dust them off into the kelp. I mean, we've got to see the new Seaforth catch a few 30 to 50 pounders this year, and how rad that on the Yellowtail Derby day, that angler put himself at the right, again, not even knowing that it was from there, but fish of that size this year, one would probably assume that was his. And, man, stars aligned on the Derby day to make that happen.
Imagine imagine being in the Yellowtail shootout and having a couple 30-pounds. You think, oh, man, we're good, man. You come in and they got beat by like 45 pounds.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Local.
That's crazy.
Neil and I were fishing in that Yellowtail Derby, you know, the month-long thing a while ago. And just same deal, like star aligned so much. We went fishing afternoon after work as we did 100 times in a row, and it was day one of the Derby, and the biggest local yellowtail in my life. We got a 45 pounder on a surface iron on our after works. What we did after work, we lived in Lakeside. Yeah. It was too hot to go home. We'd go fish La Jolla, and day one of the derby, we had a 45 pounder. I was like, well, that was some good times.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We can just hang this up, not worry about this for the rest of the month.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, you want to get through, have a chance to win that trip on the Liberty, talk to Captain Tim Ekstrom, 213-432-1090. Open right now. Let's go ahead and jump into it, Rick.
Sean and Lomita, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks. Always great to hear Tim on the show. I got a question. You know, back in the day, Guadalupe in the spring was all about the big bluefin. Do you think they're there? Has anybody checked out to see if the migration of these large bluefin stop off at the island?
We haven't seen significant sign of that big bluefin. Now, I've seen a few of them around, and once in a while you see the great big boil back there. Even then, I think the majority of the great big tuna that have been around there are those yellowfin. It's one of these great phenomena. We've talked about that, the big shift in the ocean. You know, you're right. It used to be the big bluefin zone. That's where you went to see a bluefin over 200 pounds. You know, and all down there in the south end of the island, that big bluefin was, I mean, that place was famous for it. But the shift that started occurring early 90s, 92, 93, I remember all the way until about the late 90s, early 2000s, we would see those bluefin, especially up there on the north end of the island by Pilot Rock. You'd see them big, you know, foaming out there. Never, of course, couldn't hook one to save your life. But you'd see big foamers of them out there, and they just kind of faded away. I, you know, do I think there's some around there still? Yeah, I do. But we certainly haven't had any physical evidence. I want to say, what was it, 3 years ago, we caught a couple. We got one that was, like, right at 100 pounds, 110 pounds, right amidst yellowfin. We had really good yellowfin fishing. Yeah. Down there in the south end, really good yellowtail fishing. We got a 100-pound bluefin mixed in with these yellowfin, and then we got half of another one.
Half
another bluefin. So, you know, I'm sure there's some around there, but it's not, you know, whatever big shift happened, you know, that's brought all this incredible bluefin up here, and you know, it's faded away from the Guadalupe zone.
Yeah, interesting.
On that same note, do you think that it's just a cycle thing, and will we see the great yellowfin fishing that we used to see at Alejos again? I mean, did that fish just cycle around? I mean, that was always the trophy yellowfin spot back in the day. Is that a similar deal where cycle in, cycle out?
It has to be. I mean, it's the only explanation. I mean, I remember trips that we used to kick the daylights out of the yellowfin in the spring at Alejos Bank.
Really?
Giant school. Oh, yeah. Yeah, giant schools of, you know, 40 to 70 pounders.
Oh, man.
In April, May, I mean, that was the go-to place. And not to mention in the fall, catching yellowfin. I mean, we always had the tuna would move in the fall, especially those bigger ones. There would always be a big ball of sharks that would show up with them. But we had incredible yellowfin fishing on the, like, 100 to 175 pounders.
Wow.
At Alejos and Alejos Bank in the fall. We haven't seen that in, I don't, you know, like, 10 years, 12 yeah. years, 15 years. It's kind of that same shift. Who the hell knows what happened as far as the whole pattern goes. Do I think we'll see it again? I mean, I wouldn't bet against it, but I've said this a bunch of times. I'll say it again. I'll take what we have right here.
Just fine. Yeah. Just fine.
We don't need to change this. We don't need to go back to the way it was. I mean, listen to those
reports. You don't want to go back and just put a bunch of albacore on the boat? And
I mean, I'll take that too, but
yeah.
But sacrificing this or
for
training
that,
this
for that 20-pound albacore?
No, I think so.
Yeah, no,
I mean, just think of these reports we've listened to today.
I know.
I mean, the amount of bluefin, yellowfin, yellowtail,
sea bass.
I mean, yeah, this is really
good. We're good. We're in a good cycle right
when
now.
When you go on the Liberty for a full day trip, you wake up in your bed in the morning, you're going back to that bed in the afternoon, but you need to bring a 100-pound outfit with you because your odds of rolling across a 150-pound local bluefin exist every single day. Take that just fine.
Yeah, think of last month, some of the pictures that were coming off of the Liberty, off of the San Diego, where they, you know, 20 fish drifts on a 3-quarter day trip for 100 to 150 pounders. I mean, it's looks like the deck of a long range boat at Hurricane Bank on the north end of Clarion Island on a 3-quarter day or all day.
Yeah,
all day trip. I mean,
yeah.
This is extraordinary.
Yeah.
Oh, and what's extraordinary is that it's not just 1 year. It's not an anomaly. I mean, this is year five, six, and again, there's nothing to indicate that there's going to be a major shift in this pattern.
Well, knock on wood, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Knock on anything. Yeah. It's just, you know, the fact that we've been around to be part of this. I mean, think of fishing. You weren't here, but think of fishing back in the 70s. Remember?
Yeah.
75, 6, 8, yeah. 7, early 80s. I mean,
somebody catches a white sea bass. It's like, wow, somebody caught a white sea bass.
Yeah, it was dismal, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there was a couple flashes of the pain, some summertime albacore fishing, but there was a lot of tumbleweeds, it was like the Dust Bowl, man.
Yeah.
It was just not good for a long, long, long time. So, you know, between what happened in the early 90s, all this bluefin showing up and, you know, the big shift, we'll call it, with all of a sudden this yellowfin becoming available almost every year and the local boats getting in on it, you know, 9 mile bank, whatever. This has been an extraordinary time to be
an angler, a
captain, an operator. Yeah. I mean, this is really, I just hearken back on the stuff that I've seen in this now 35 years of doing this. It's pretty hard to wrap your head around the difference between fishing today and fishing in 1982 or 83, 85, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Remarkable.
Hey, I'm not the only one confused on this rigging thing. That Sid from Irvine says, Ricky was talking about heavy cord and hooks on flat fall jigs. How does the landing rig their flat falls hook cord leader size? We should make clear that the cord you're talking about actually comes rigged on the hook, right?
Yeah, so what we like to use, again, you know, via recommendation, you know, from the fleet, is a heavy duty assist hook. And there are several manufacturers that make ultra heavy duty versions, Gamakatsu, Mustad, Owner, there's a bunch of them. But, you know, the cord needs to be, you know, able to withstand, you know, bluefin have teeth, and if that thing is in the wrong spot, they're head shaking SOBs, the big ones. So you need to have a very heavy duty cord, assist cord, and a very heavy duty assist hook. And depending on the size of the jig, most commonly we like two of those assist hooks from the bottom. Some guys like a hook at the bottom and another hook up top. There doesn't seem to be a real negative. Tim said it best, there are tons of ways to rig that lure with success. 90% of what we do are an ultra heavy duty assist hook held on by an appropriate heavy duty split ring, and then a bite leader of like some 200 pound fluorocarbon.
Yeah.
That's like our go to rigging.
How many hooks is the most you've seen on a flat fall jig?
At least 7 or 8. You talk about and let me, they're just like, it's just this spinning ball of hooks.
Chandelier of hook.
Yeah, you talk about a bitch to get that thing out. With, you know, 150 pounder, 200 pounder swallows it all the way to the gut. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's scary. If you go put a spike in the thing's head, you know,
do you need that many hooks?
Well, you know, the guy who caught him certainly thinks he does. You know, I can't say that they don't work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. The thing's just festooned with hooks. You know, every orifice has got a hook coming out
classic.
Of it. You know what I mean?
Classic. Well, let's jump back in the phone.
You got it. We're gonna talk to Ed. Ed's calling us from Mira Mesa this morning. Ed, good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. My question is, I'm going to be going out on a full day charter at the end of this month, and I'm just wondering, are the yellowfin going to be close enough to maybe get some of those?
My guess is yes. You know, well, right now, July 2nd, and this yellowfin, I mean, it's already here local. There's been a few jig strikes, fish outside the islands and the like, but a month from now, I think I should look. I think I have at least $2 in my wallet. I'd put all that $2 on it, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like you said, it's here. It's here already, and it'll probably be here in a much greater volume.
My guess
with a month to go.
Yep,
that's cool.
Is albacore out of the questions this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still going with it.
I would say that
no way.
A resounding yes.
Yeah. Are they catching them out west?
There's been fish out west now, like out west, way the hell out there, 700 miles out in front of San Francisco. And I mean, I think it's going to be another year where it's albacore are going to be in their traditional range, which is Northern California up to, you know, Vancouver Island. Yeah, that would be my guess. I'm not saying there won't be a stray here or, who knows in the
but
fall.
But the bulk is still in the traditional grounds.
We're not going to see a big albacore here, no doubt.
Will we ever see a big albacore here?
No doubt about it. Will you and I be here to see?
Yeah, who knows, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, my advice to an angler that's really hot that tried to catch an albacore is go book a trip out of El Waco or Westport. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's your best bet. No
that's
doubt.
Where they are.
Yeah.
Sure. That's cool. Hey, we had a great text come through. This one's from Doug in Long Beach. Says, I'm going on an 8-day trip on the Spirit in 2 weeks. Tim, you think I'll have any chance at a Wahoo?
Yes, I do.
Ah, right on.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, for this Dorado showing up here, I know this trip, the last couple of years, we've actually run into a few Wahoo offshore outside of the ridge.
Cool.
And, you know, if you've got water that's north of 73 degrees and blue, be it Alejos Rocks, be it anywhere along the ridge, outside there on kelps, you've got a shot at Wahoo.
Oh, wow.
And more out of the last 10 years, more years than not at this time of year, those Wahoo started to move in.
This trip is the one you're talking about, the 8-day that you're leaving in about 20 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah. You've caught Wahoo on that trip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
are they on kelps or just scattered jig strikes?
All of the above.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
We've had just random strikes offshore. But generally, if you start getting a few random strikes offshore, you better start focusing on those kelps because they'll be around those kelps also. But the this trip, 3 out of the last 5 years or 6 years that I ran it, we had
wahoo.
I wouldn't call it really good wahoo fishing, but I remember one day we had 27.
Oh,
which that's nice. Good afternoon.
That's a good score.
And again, mix and match. We had good yellowtail fishing on the ridge. Said, hey, hell is it? Let's go out and see if we can find some wahoo. And we did.
And you did.
Yeah. Another trip, we had a dozen or 15. You know, a legitimate shot.
And
Alejos Rocks, same thing. Like this is when they start moving in. Yeah.
Can you make Alejos Rocks on this 8-day?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh, easy.
Yeah, I mean you can fish Alejos and the ridge
and the whole thing.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite trip? If you had to pick one trip through the year, 8, 3, 10, whatever, what's Tim Ekstrom's favorite trip to run?
Ooh, that's a tough call. I mean, I've said many a time that summer 7-day that we it's why there were so many of them on our schedule, a Saturday to Saturday summer 7-day. I really like those from, say, the beginning of August through the middle of October.
Uh-huh.
Because it just has, there's so many options.
So many.
You can do anything. If it dries up here, craps the bed, you can go down and fish the ridge. You can fish Alejos. You can fish along the beach. You can mix and match. It's enough time to make a run if you need to, but it's also the perfect amount of time where you're not compelled to go down there. Mm-hmm. If there's really good fishing here, you can mix it up and make a catch again offshore. You can go in on the coast. You can just build a really successful trip within that time frame. That's probably my overall favorite trip to run. However, I'm partial to those fall 10 days also because I like the variety thing. And I really like fishing down there again in that area down below.
Extra time.
Mag Bay. I like that extra time to go down there and target those big ones down there.
Cool.
And your crew is just so good at dealing with big ones. There's no doubt about it. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup, including find out who's going fishing on board the Liberty. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hayden Lane here from Fast Lane Kayaking, and I got to tell you about all the rad new stuff we have in the shop, like the fully updated new line of Hobie inflatable kayaks, the iTrek series. Hobie took the best-selling i11S and made it even better. Then it had new models like it, like the new iTrek 9 that weighs just 37 pounds, fully rigged, packs into a small bag with wheels, and fits just about anywhere. And on the water, this thing performs, featuring a super wide and flat hull shape that is stable and an elevated beach chair style seat that is comfortable. Or the all-new Hobie Mirage Lynx. Inspired by the shape of the inflatable kayaks, Hobie made a durable and ultralight hardtop model. It's the missing link. It looks like a hybrid of a stand-up paddleboard and a kayak. And the best part, at just 45 pounds, the hull weighs about half as much as similar sized kayaks. And it's stackable. Pile them up on your roof rack or your truck bed. You gotta see this thing. Stop by the shop, right on the water in Dana Landing Marina in Mission Bay. Or check us out online at FastLaneKayaking.com.
This is Captain Dwayne Diego, Pinnacle Sport Fishing. Visual signs are one of our most important aspects to our charter fishing business. It's the reason myself and all of our crew all wear Costa sunglasses. With advanced polarization technology, Costa is designed to help cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color and comfort to help you see more fish. Costa was founded over 35 years ago by a group of fishermen wanting high-performance lenses for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your pursuit. Check them out at CostaSunglasses.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and full stock tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time to find out who the big winner going fishing on board the Liberty is. Tim's going to do us the honor flipping the coin to find out if we got a caller, texter. Give it to us, Tim.
Here we go.
Okay, we got a caller today, so congratulations, Ralph in Menifee. You're going fishing on board the Liberty with Taro and the boys. You're going to have such a good time.
Yeah, congratulations. And we want to throw out a big good luck to Duke Ekstrom and Charlie Ekstrom playing in two different major sports here today.
Right, how about that? Yeah, Charlie, she's playing in the women's AVP in beach volleyball in Denver, and Duke's just about to come up and pitch in the USA Baseball.
And in North Carolina, baseball, right?
Yeah, the prospect development pipeline.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Well,
good luck to them. Get them, Ekstroms.
Yeah.
There you go.
Go get them. And if somebody wants to book a trip on the Royal Star, how do we do it?
619-224-4764. Give us a call in the office. Follow along on the website. Take a look at the schedule as it unfolds. And let's hope the good fishing and the good fortune continues.
Yeah, for sure. And again, if you see a full trip, just call Tracy in the office. Get on the wait list. You may get on. You may be surprised.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Tim. And good luck on your trip here that you're leaving. And hopefully you'll call us and give us a report about all the fish you're catching.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right. Thanks very much. Tomorrow on Let's Talk Hookup, another great show. Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle will be here. We'll have the dueling tackle gurus here on Let's Talk Hookup tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Thanks to Christian for manning the phones and the board. And thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. And we'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m., right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.